All right, I invite you to turn to Psalm 119 tonight. And we are going to look at the next stanza in this passage. The theme tonight, as you're going to take note, in fact, you know what I'm going to do is I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to see if you can pick it out. We're going to read this together. And I want you to see if you can pick out a theme. There's probably more than one, but you'll notice something that is repeated quite frequently. Psalm 119, we're going to look at 137. 137 tonight. All right, here we go. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, and therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. What did you see there? A theme. Obviously, it's about the Word of God, so it won't be that. But what about righteousness? Excellent. Righteousness. You see righteousness in verse 137. You see it in 142, 138, and 144. If you look at it and you study this, look at verse 137, you see here that righteous is a word used here to describe what or whom? The Lord. This is all caps. So this is what name of God? A little louder, I'm having a hard time. Jehovah, yes. Yes, Jehovah God. So, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. You'll notice down in 142, look at 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. So what we have here in this psalm is we have the psalmist looking to Jehovah God, and he's making this claim, he's making this statement, Lord Jehovah, you are righteous. And then later on, he explains that as your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. So not only is Jehovah righteous, but his righteousness is everlasting, which means that it goes on and on. It's always been, it always will be. Now, look at this in 138. How is righteous used here? What is it describing? God's testimonies. So we have Jehovah God who's righteous, and his righteousness is everlasting. And now in verse 138, we have God's word as righteous. And now look at 144. The righteousness of thy testimonies is what? Isn't that interesting? Jehovah God, he's righteous. And his righteousness is everlasting. His word is righteous. And his word's righteousness is everlasting. Now, as you think about righteousness, how would we define that? Let's try to put a definition together of righteousness here. What do you think? Let's try to wrap our minds around this concept. What are we saying? What's the psalmist saying about God and about his word? If it's righteous. Pure. There's a purity about it. Interesting that that word there, pure, in 140, thy word is very pure. It's having been refined. It's having been smelted or having been tested, having been proven. God's word is like refined gold. There is no impurities in it. Anybody want to add or build on any other thoughts as far as righteousness? It's right and true. Yes. It is true and right. And really all that we're saying, these all kind of go together. They all really fit together. The picture, the idea that I have come up with is a state of being right, a correctness of one's character and life. But here's something interesting. It can only be measured against the absolute standard of God. Why is that? Why is that? It's because there is only one right kind of righteousness. There is only one kind of right, isn't there? It's God. It's His holy standard. And so as we're looking at this, the psalmist, obviously he's a man, but he's been inspired by God to write these words. And he is making this proclamation. He is saying, oh, Jehovah God, you are righteous. And so from his perspective and from our perspective, we can look up and we acknowledge that God is absolutely right. He is in a state of rightness, of purity, of truth, absolutely and always correct. He is the only one that has the absolute and holy standard of righteousness. He is righteous. And we learn in the psalm that his righteousness is forever and ever. So what's important about that? It means that God didn't come to righteousness, and righteousness hasn't or never will leave him. He always has been righteous, and he always will be. That will never, ever change. Now, taking that into account, what does that mean for us as we relate to God? As we try to figure out how to live. He's our standard. And that standard never what? It never changes. It's always the same. Look at 137. It says, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy, judgments. Upright is the idea of being straight, level, straightforward. That's God. That's His word. You can always trust Him to be straightforward with you. He's always going to be right on. You know, when we have a time in our life when we are just struggling, we're lacking for wisdom, we don't know what to do many times, and hopefully it increases in our lives as we mature in Christ, but we're driven to the Word of God. Why are we driven to the Word of God? Because we can count on it. We can count on it to always be right. There's nothing else like that. There's no one else like that in this world. I mean, we've talked about this before. But we see some illustrations of this in our world. Some illustrations of some absolute standards, of things that they're absolutes. They're absolutely right. The one that comes to mind most frequently for me is 1 + 1. Right? It always equals what? Can you count on that? Come on. Don't tell me that this... don't tell me there's somewhere in the world that 1 plus 1 doesn't equal 2. The basis of my set of numbers. All right, well, okay, for us, I'll call, for me as a simple-minded man, okay, that's a pretty absolute standard for me, all right? I don't think I'm ever going to get... So, but 1 plus 1 is 2, in my mind, and I trust that. And I teach my children math, I can count on that every single time. And same thing with all of the other addition things that they do, or subtraction, it's the same. It's always going to be like that. And, you know, our God, He's always the same. And so when you picture this idea that the psalmist is getting, he is proclaiming the immutability of God. And that is that God doesn't change. He never has and He never will. And he is illustrating this by that quality of righteousness. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Verse 138, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Do you notice very? The psalmist throws that little word in there. To emphasize, to intensify. It's fine to say God is faithful, right? He's faithful. But if you hear me say God is very faithful, you hear me say there's no way God would ever let anybody down. Not at the least. There's an intensity, there's a passion behind that. He's firm and He's steadfast. In 139, my zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Now, you get the idea here as you read this. The psalmist is he's pretty excited about the word of God. Somebody has to write 176 verses about the same thing, right? Yeah. And I trust that we are excited about the Word of God. And that it is exciting to see the special things that are in it for us to learn. And the psalmist here, he finds himself literally just coming to an end of himself emotionally as he watches people around him walk away from God and ignore His Word. It just boggles his mind. The zeal, he says, my zeal hath consumed me, hath come put me to an end. And so the picture that you have here is he's got an incredible passion for the Word of God and for seeing people embrace it. What a challenge. You know, do we have that kind of passion for the Word of God? Does it hurt? Does it hurt? You, when you see people that just trash the Word of God or walk away from it, does it hurt you? It is sad, and my heart breaks for parents that have to watch their children go through a time like this. You know, probably all of us at some point or another have watched a family go through some heartache. As they have spent all of their 18 years raising a child and pouring into him or her the Word of God, and then it's painful, right, to see a child turn their back, ignore, or forget God's words. You know, it's a kind of pain. It brings you to emotional end because you have spent your life. And you have put emotion and passion into the Word and pouring it into the soul. And God wants us to have that kind of passion for the Word of God. A passion so that, you know, it hurts when we see others who ignore it. Verse 140, the psalmist says, "Thy word is very pure." There's our word again, very. The psalmist is, his word is very faithful, and his word is very pure. God's word is steadfast and firm. God's word has passed the test. It's proven it is refined gold. All the impurities, there's no impurities in it at all. It is pure. It is, in this concept, and I don't want to give the idea that it has become pure, it is pure. It is as gold that has already gone through the proving, the smelting. That is the quality that the psalmist gives to it. And what does he say? We just were talking about this. "Therefore, thy servant loves it." Do you love the Word of God? Do you love it? Do you have a passion for it? Do you have a hunger? An appetite for the Word of God? Do you find that you go throughout a day and you miss it? You know, I am nowhere near arrived, but I'm growing in God. And it's been exciting to watch a passion for the Word of God grow in my heart. As I grew up in a Christian home, you know that. I grew up with the Word of God all the time, all around me. I went to Bible college and Bible school. And, you know, I would say the last 5 to 6 years is when I can really begin to discern that I've had a real true passion and hunger for the Word of God. It's been growing in me. And it's been exciting to just see that and experience it and to actually, you know, to go through a day and feel hungry sometimes. Sometimes, you know, if I miss my time with the Lord in the morning, and you know, I will be hungry. I'll be wondering, what is there in the Word that He wants to tell me today? What is it there? What's there? What am I missing? And I'm trying to incorporate this in our supper table. Last couple evenings, we've had a discussion about what have we learned from God's Word today. And it's a great discussion. It's a good thing to do with families around a table. It's accountability. Yeah, but it's an opportunity for you to regurgitate what God has been saying. That's probably not a good word for at the meal table, but you're just processing through again. And you can share what has gone on in your communion with God. And you can allow that passion to overflow into one another. You get together with a good friend who loves the Lord. Talk about what you're learning from the Word of God. Talk about it. You should never lack for conversation. Verse 141. "I am small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts." I identify with this a little bit. And because when I was on a basketball team, and yes, I did play basketball 1 year, and I was in 10th grade, and I made the varsity team, which was my first year playing basketball, and I made the varsity. I was so excited, but I was like the second to the last one on the bench. You know how that works. But I was on the varsity, played JV. But I can remember one game, a varsity game. We were playing a big school. I went to a Christian school that had 325 students, K through 12. We were playing a large private school, and they probably had that many in their 11th and 12th grades. So anyway, they were a lot bigger than us. And I had a classmate of mine who was about 6'4". And he was, of course, playing down low. I cannot remember exactly what happened, whether it was a foul or whether he got hurt or whatever. But he came out of the game. And for some reason, I do not know to this day why, coach called me in. All right, so there's about a foot difference. And so I get in the game, and I'm trying to figure out who am I supposed to play. Who am I guarding? We were man-to-man. Well, I'm guarding 00. You know, if you can wear a 00 on your chest, you're a big guy. So I'm playing. I'm not telling you a lie. I'm telling you the truth. I stared at 00s right here. Okay? That's the size difference. I was small and despised. I mean, that guy who I was guarding was waving his arms and saying, I mean, right under the hoop. That's all they had to do was just pass the ball to him. Well, what did I do? Did I turn around and look at him and, well, it's no use guarding this guy because I'm not going to do anything anyway. Is that what I did? No, I guarded him. I did the best I could. I jumped. I flailed. I did whatever I could. And, I don't think he got the ball because they didn't pass it to him. But anyway, I felt just ridiculous. I felt small. I felt despised, insignificant, little. But I didn't forget the fundamentals. You just stuck with it. Just keep going. Do it. It's a good thing I was only in for like 30 seconds. I'd love to tell you a hero story, but I don't got anything there. You know what? You ever feel small and despised? You ever feel like you're staring 00s right in the chest and seems hopeless? What am I going to do? Don't forget the precepts of God. Don't compromise. Stick with what you know is right. Stick with the righteousness of God. His standard is always true. Stick to it. Stay there, right on it. Don't forget his precepts. 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Thy law is truth. Verse 143. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. The psalmist finds great strength in the word of God. Trouble and anguish, they've found him. They have secured a hold on him, is another way you could say that. Trouble is actually the same word as enemies up in verse 139. And it's the actual concept of being pushed down into a narrow and tight space. It's that feeling. It's the feeling when an adversary is right on top of you and you don't have room to move. And there's the anguish, the distress. Those things have found him. And they've grabbed a hold of him. But he says, thy commandments are my delights. They're my enjoyment. Oh God, your word is the object of my joy. The object of my delight. Again, we're being challenged about our passion for the word of God. Do we find it to be the object of our joy, of our delight? The psalmist closes the stanza with, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. You give me understanding. This is the imperative in the verse. Oh God, I beseech you, give me, bring upon me discernment and a knowing, an understanding, and I shall live. Dear ones, do you have that kind of confidence in the word of God? You can. And I trust that you will that we will have that kind of confidence that we can trust the Word of God to give us and give us life, to give us understanding, O God, as we understand the Word of God, it will breathe life into our souls and into the way we live and into the people with whom we are around. It will breathe a fresh breath of God upon them as you and I understand, comprehend, and live God's holy word. So God is righteous. His word is righteous. God's righteousness is everlasting. He always has been righteous, and he will never stop being righteous. God's word is righteous. It has always been righteous, and it never will stop being righteous. Your God is a righteous God. He will never change. He is firm, he's steadfast, he's very faithful, and he is very pure. So may we have a passion, may we have a love, a zeal for his word. Lord Jesus, thank you for the time that you've given us tonight. It's been a joy again to share the word, to discuss it with your people. And I thank you for opening our eyes to these truths. I pray that you would refresh them, that you would strengthen them for the week ahead. Lord, your word goes with them. The life that it breathes will breathe freshness and newness into their souls. I thank you so much, God, for how you've designed all of these things and made them to work in such a unique and special way. Strengthen us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.